When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, good morning, New Jersey. It is Thursday, July 23rd. I'm Bob Williams, and welcome to the Jim Gerhardt Podcast for this week. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine. It's kind of an overcast, dank, rainy morning here at Gerhardt Manor. I want to do this right off the bat. I keep referring to my home as stately Gerhardt Manor. And I've had people say, I've seen your house. It doesn't look very stately to me. it's not a manor. It's just an old home.
Well, it is a gated community. You do have a nice fence around the property.
Yeah. Well, it goes to Batman. Remember?
Yes.
In Batman, the announcer never said when they switch scenes from Commissioner Gordon's office back to the Batcave, they never say, let's go see what's shaking at Bruce Wayne's house. The line was always, meanwhile, at stately Wayne Manor, ancestral home of prominent millionaire Bruce Wayne. So I like that stately Wayne Manor. So this is stately Gerhardt Manor. All right.
Did you get a lot of rain down there at stately Gerhardt Manor last night?
Well, we got a little last night. We just got some a while ago. Nancy was out in the yard doing her chore, picking up after dogs, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, the sky's open and everybody got drenched. But yeah, it's nice, good to have the rain. Saves on the watering, the sprinkler. You know, I turned the sprinkler off. Oh, I tell you something interesting before we get into the meat of what we're going to talk about today. I have been dreading getting my utility bill because we've had the air conditioner going 24 hours a day, this terrible heat wave we're having. And of course, the problem is that it stays hot at night as well. The temperature is not going down as night as traditionally had happened. So I expected that when the bill came in, the electric bill came in, it was going to be staggering. Turns out, as of yesterday, when I got the bill, they said I'd use 13.4% less electricity this year than last year.
Wow.
Do you remember anything like this last year? I don't.
No. I mean, and you would think that you're using more because people are home more.
Of course. Well, I one thing I wanted to bring up that I thought was very interesting, a Jersey story. There's been talk by some of the a gaggle of people in the aggrieved industry that the name of Freehold is offensive. Freehold, of course, is very nice, historic town, Monmouth County seat. And that the name Freehold, the word, not the town, the name has to be changed because it is offensive to whoever is offended by practically anything. So the question came up, pops into your mouth, are there other towns in New Jersey that are going to fall beneath the politically correct steamroller here, the name is?
Right.
And I took a look around, and I'm going to make some suggestions here. First of all, I would suggest they change the name of Egg Harbor.
Yeah.
Be offensive to vegans.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. And going on, well, obviously we get Washington and towns like that.
There's about eight Washington. There's about eight Washington, so they got to deal with that. Like eight.
There's five Washingtons in New Jersey.
Right, and a bunch of Franklins, too. Right.
Okay, we got Mansfield. That would be offensive to women, I would think. You could change it to Persons Field or whatever.
Okay.
Southampton, well, the South, you know, they're wiping the South, the memory of it. Also, Magnolia, New Jersey has to go because that's sort of a Southern symbol. Shiloh, we have a town called Shiloh. There are 565 towns in New Jersey. One called Shiloh because I believe the rebels, the South, won the Battle of Shiloh. So we don't want to remember that. Weehawken, there goes, small people. You can't, the M word, you know, remember that, you can't use. Bethlehem, of course, would be offensive to atheists. Yeah. There's town of Clinton. Well, that's offensive. That's offensive to me. That's personal. Victory Gardens.
Oh,
South Jersey. That is xenophobic.
Ooh.
Really, Victory? Yeah. The Scotch Plains would offend alcoholics.
Yeah.
and finally, I get Hohokus, because Ho-Ho reminds you of Santa Claus, which is a reminder of Christmas, and Christmas, of course, is very, very offensive to this particular group. But anyway, something to think about. And of course, I had a whole bunch more, but I will not burden you with those. So,
well, I was always of the opinion of the name Freeholder should have been changed years ago to Freeloader, because I really question what the heck those people ever do. I mean, does county government do anything in the state? I mean, there are some states where county government is very, very influential, and they have some very, very, you know, main jobs like county-wide school systems in some states. Not here. It's basically just a nothing job. I mean, what do they do? And basically, aren't they local politicians that have stepped to the regional level as a freeholder in these counties? I guess that's right.
All the relatives of the biggies, political biggies. Yeah, at one time, back in colonial days when this was set up, possibly there was some point in it. I know, because transportation and communication wasn't as instantaneous as right now. So maybe there was some sense in that. There's certainly not anymore. There have been moves, or at least stirrings of sentiment, to eliminate county government, or to eliminate town government and have county government, one way or the other. And you could do it either way in New Jersey. I know for one time, the town where I live, there were five towns that were so contiguous, and this happens all over New Jersey, that there was a move afoot. In fact, there was a petition out to consolidate them all into one town. Well, that, of course, didn't work, which is a little bit of a side issue over the county, but consolidating towns in New Jersey is a no-brainer. It should be done. But you get two things holding against it, mitigating against it, like combining school districts. We got so many of them, can't keep up with them. And it's very, very expensive. But one thing is, there is a legend in New Jersey called Home Rule. Now, older people, for some reason, believe this fiction that they're ruining their own destiny, which is ridiculous, because everything that goes on is dictated by Washington or Trenton. But they hold on to that and say, I don't want to merge with this town, because way back in the 40s, we played football against them and they played dirty. Anything to do with them. So that you get. Also, the job thing, because, again, they're talking about merging five towns. Well, you got, for example, five political structures, five police departments. That means you're going to have one. So four police chiefs have to step down a rank. Nobody wants to give that up. And so what happened is they had these petitions on counters at local merchants. And I went in the hardware store one day, and there on the counter was a petition, and you could sign it or not sign it, that you wanted to combine these governments. Well, they had a policeman in full uniform standing right next to it, watching to see who signed it. Now, he didn't say anything. In fact, he was quite friendly. Yeah. On the other hand, you figure, if I sign that petition, I'm going to get a ticket before I get out of the parking lot.
Of course.
I don't know that I would have, but this is what you think. So there's a certain amount of intimidation going on. Anyway, your point's well taken. The county maintains, I think, the library system.
Right. And county, and the police departments and the county parks.
County parks. Well, that's good.
And one other thing we'll give them credit for. I think the sheriff, I think they take care of the courts. Is that correct?
So somebody else could do that, too.
Yeah, right. True. But. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe somebody will bring that up. I think so many things are going to change. I was getting I can't say clinically depressed, but certainly a little bit sad, contemplating the outcome of the presidential and the general election coming up. We're in a no-win situation here, I think. And I'll simply throw this out as a thought, that no matter who wins, we're going to lose, ultimately. Because, first of all, the Democrats, who, according to the media, are, you know, way ahead. Now, you don't know because the media is part of this progressive establishment, so you don't know what you're getting. We get things like the erosion of freedom of speech, the intimidation factor, all of these isms, the political correctness. Now, we have given those up on our own, which is very disturbing. There's been no government mandate that you can't use certain words. There's no government mandate that says that you have to have a certain belief. But we go with that anyway, because this progressive, whatever, steamroller that is rolling across the land has somehow mandated that, and they have such great intimidating powers that people, look at the people, lose the job for saying something that is perfectly innocent. It might even be perfectly correct, but it is not in keeping with the speech.
Right.
And so, but you see what happens is, and also the behavior you see now in these democratic controlled cities, people can go wild, do whatever they want. All this call for doing away with police, the whole nutty package is out there, but it's not centralized. It is not institutionalized. Now, if the Democrats come into power, the progressives with the presidency, and the both houses of Congress, this will be institutionalized. In my opinion, my particular foresight, it's going to be institutionalized, because then it will be the government will declare these simple things that people say. Right now, it's the school principal, just pick one, for example, in New Jersey, who said something very, very innocent, and yet he had to come back and grovel and apologize. You get, I think, the quarterback for New Orleans, Drew Brees, who they started yelling, what, xenophobia, because he said he didn't want to see the country embarrassed, or he supported the country. You can't do that. You get things like changing the name of anything in California that has John Wayne in it, like the airport in Orange County, the cinema, curriculum center at UCLA was John Wayne. He probably gave him the money for it. But anyway, that has to go. But these things now are something that we allow ourselves to be intimidated into, and people will not push back for fear of that intimidation, what it could mean to them. Then it'll become institutionalized, and there will be laws to this effect. So you're moving into the Chinese model. How deep into it we'll get and how soon, I don't know. But the Chinese model, which would be total government control over behavior, over thought. And as in China, people who disagree somehow disappear. Yeah. And they become the Orwellian non-persons. Yeah. So that's the fear on the one side. Now, think about that. You're going to have problems. Your freedoms are going to be eroded seriously if these Democrats get into power. On the other hand, if the Republicans do the same thing, then you're also walking into a morass, because there goes any hope of controlling the environment. The corporations will run roughshod and have their way, which they might anyway. But you get no change in current policies that are destroying the planet.
Right.
I think everybody has seen these programs about this, a whole planet's worth of plastic building up. The oceans are becoming so polluted, you're not going to be able to have seafood very shortly, or you eat it at your own peril. And you know what's happening to the land, which between what pig poop and buffalo or cow flatulence, you know, is doing us in. So you've got, in other words, on one side, you've got a lot of change that I think are going to be very restrictive and very unpleasant for us who are used to freedom. Speaking of freedom, Franklin Roosevelt, D. Roosevelt, very liberal president back in 1941, proposed what he called the four freedoms, that Americans have a right to. And you would not remember this, and many people wouldn't, but older people will. This was a big thing, the four freedoms. There were Norman Rockwell paintings that were famous. It was on magazine covers. And the four freedoms were freedom of speech. inalienable rights of all Americans. This is why you're going to war. You're going to fight for these four freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, which is freedom of religion, freedom from fear. Now, you tell that to somebody who is shaking in their boots because they said something innocent on Facebook.
Yeah.
And finally, there was freedom from want. Now, that is probably somewhat subjective, but I think he meant physical want, the basic needs of life, food, clothing, shelter, you know, and the like. And so I would say we still have that. Now, people will complain and say, well, yeah, but there's still poor people, still people who want. Yes. Very famous person, that was a name I don't remember exactly, once said, the poor will always be with you. And this is probably true. It'll come to me. It's a name I heard once somewhere. But which gets back to the freedom of religion. Now you've got, as you know, Bob, you've got the Christianity under fire.
Oh, yeah, it's under attack. Oh, the attacks on the statues of the Virgin Mary throughout the country. It makes you sick. What does that have to do with anything? I'm just speechless on that sort of thing. Setting the statue of the Virgin Mary on fire, holding plastic flowers. What?
Okay, but also you have we're told there's a rise in anti-Semitism. Now, this interesting, the only religion really that is getting a free pass is Islam in this country. Why? I think it has nothing to do with the religion except the reputation, which is maybe not well-founded, that they are all full bent, the worldwide Islam to take over, you know, the world and the country. And so that would be something that, and also these are people who refer to us as the great Satan. In other words, in that group, there are prominent haters of America. Therefore, our progressives love them because they are, well, the old thing, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Because the progressive leadership, these people hate America. Anybody else who does is okay with them, no matter what. So they get a little bit of a free ride, but essentially Christianity, Judaism, and the like, very declassé now in America.
Hey, so Maria from Mansfield typed in. She said, leave our town alone. Maria Mansfield.
No, it's going to be Personsfield. I'm telling you.
and you know, to your point, did you ever think you'd live to see the day where the government would not stand up and protect you from property damage or you know, bodily harm from an enemy? Did you ever think that? I'm just amazed by this.
We trusted, this is back in the good old days, the halcyon days, we trusted that the government would do three things. One is to defend us from such things as you're talking about, to keep us safe, to maintain a stable economy, and to tell the truth. So I used to say, well, we know the truth is gone. Two out of three weren't bad, but now we lost the keep us safe. And the economy, I think, is the way it is, not the government's fault, really. This has to do with the current health situation in the country.
Yeah.
But I never thought, it never occurred to anybody that you could go out and just cause mayhem in the street, public disorder. And the government not only would not stop it, they would support it.
Yeah.
This is why people are buying guns. And it's unfortunate.
It's real. It's real. People
have seen the fact that the government is not only not going to help them in a time of crisis, it's going to join the enemy. The St. Louis couple.
Oh, that's another tragedy. You know, they're protecting their own property.
These people were trying to defend their property from an obvious threat. People were saying, it's not like saying, well, we were just standing out here peacefully demonstrating. No, you weren't. You tore the gate down. You came marching in. You told these people you were going to take their house and you were going to do harm to them. So they pulled out the difference.
Yeah, that's right.
And the crowd backed off. What happens is the people defending their home get charged. So, the guns weren't loaded.
Yeah, right. It was just a deterrent.
We were told.
But the customers did not know that. So that was the thing. That was the caveat there. So
yeah. So we got war on religion, the practitioners of religion. We got war on just Actually, there's a war on rational people who think and arrive at a conclusion, an opinion, and state the opinion publicly if it's not in concert with the going politically correct line. Their careers can be ruined. It's a terrible thing. It goes back to the 13th century. I think it was about the 1240s. Pope Innocent III, which is an oxymoron, Innocent III, Innocent, proclaimed that this was the official church policy that led eventually into the Inquisition and other unpleasantries. He said, anyone who has an opinion of God inconsistent with church doctrine shall be burned without mercy. That's where we are. We're not lighting school principals afire right now. But believe me, they would. Now, these people, if you look at some of the faces contorted with hatred and anger in some of these demonstrations. So I don't know where it goes, but who's going to fall next to John Wayne now? They're obliterating that, his name. What did he do? Oh, I did want to tell you, speaking of that, I'm going to do you a favor. You like good movies. On Netflix is a movie called Trumbo.
Trumbo.
Have you seen it?
No.
It's about Dalton Trumbo, who was probably the greatest screenwriter that we ever had, and how he was blacklisted during the McCarthy witch hunt of communists in Hollywood. And it is an excellent movie with a great cast in it, but it gives you a very good flavor of what went on back there, which I remember quite well. Now, what we're having now, this is McCarthyism, and John Wayne is not very favorably portrayed in the movie. He was portrayed something as an overzealous bully, you know, patriotic bully, which maybe he was. I have no idea. But see that movie because it does recreate that era. And you will see the parallels between that McCarthyism back in the 50s and what's going on right now from the other side. So we are back into a form of reverse McCarthyism in which the left is intimidating people. Right. Great parallel. This is not in the movie, but I do remember the hearings, the Army McCarthy hearings, when Joseph McCarthy held up a sheet of paper.
Mr. Chairman, I have a list of 65 known communists working in our State Department.
Of course, he had nothing. It was a blank piece of paper, it turned out. He had anything. Consider that with his Congressman Adam Schiff's business.
I have proof, definite proof, that what the Russians controlled the last election are the Trump and Vladimir Putin have an agreement. They had nothing. Obviously, he had nothing. No such thing.
So it is the same thing turned right around now. You are having a liberal witch hunt as opposed to the conservative witch hunt. Now, here's the problem. One of the factors that ended the conservative, the McCarthy witch hunt, was a journalist, television journalist named Edward R. Murrow on CBS. He was the only person, the first person to stand up in a national broadcast and denounce this. Everybody else was scared crapless. You know, when I first started in broadcasting, we had to sign a loyalty oath before you could go on the air. Did you know that, Bob?
I think you mentioned it to me years ago. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You had to sign that and affidavit. You never belonged to a whole big string of organizations and the like. Yeah. But anyway, Murrow got on the air and denounced it. And all of a sudden, people started saying, yeah, that's right. What's the problem? We don't have an Edward R. Murrow. We do not have a dominant, trustworthy media giant anymore, as we used to have. Because everybody now is simply following some sort of a political agenda. These people, Eric Severide, Murrow, even up to the latest Cronkite, then it started changing a little bit. Very objective people. All right, so
I was just going to say to you about Cronkite. I mean, Cronkite, he was probably the last one, like you mentioned. I mean, later, you never knew these guys' personal feelings, opinions, politically, what side they fell on. When they were on the air, they gave the news objectively and straight out there so that the audience could make their own judgments and form their own opinions. I mean, it wasn't until later after Cronkite had, I'm going to call him Concrete in a minute, Walter retired, that we found out he was very, very liberal in his policy.
Dan Rather replaced him.
But then he got in trouble, you know, of course, later with some of his stuff, too. Now, I tell you, Cronkite's interesting. When I worked with Walter Cronkite during my term as a staff announcer at CBS for a short period of time, it never occurred to anybody. I would never have walked up and say, you know, I could be sitting there across from him, you know, not on the air, of course, but, you know, preparing. And it would never occur to say, hey, what do you think about this? Because thinking about it was not the job. It is objectively encompassing it and reporting it straight to the people. Nobody would have thought of that. So any conversation you had with him generally was either business or he had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
But so, that is an aside from my star-crossed past.
And before the show started, I started asking you about your influences over your great career. And you're a font of wisdom and a lot of great opinion. How have you been influenced? I would imagine you've had some great influences.
Broadcasting,
opinions as a person, intellect, things like that.
Well, you're talking about now, or
just over the years. How have you formed opinions? My point is today. Yeah. Social media has these people out there called social media influencers here on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, where these people go out there and they, you know, for whatever reasons, they're celebrities or they're to be admired, that they put out their opinion, and it basically galvanizes other people's opinions to feel the same way. Were you that way, or did you always form your own opinion after finding information on your own?
Well, we're all heavily influenced. My greatest influence politically, I think, was H.L. Mencken, the great American sage and journalist. Far as my career is concerned, I think, you know, you look at everybody is who does this for a living. Steve Allen was an influence. And, you could go on and on. Flip Wilson. You know, I'm sorry. I was going to interrupt with the Flip Wilson thing, who I loved. He was a Jersey guy. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That was fine. You answered my opinion, my question. But the thing is, people abdicate their opinion way too easily these days, and they really don't take the time, like we've mentioned before, to really formulate their own opinion after gathering facts and gathering various.
What taught us that? We are taught to act as a celebrity tells us to. God, how long have they been doing sneaker commercials?
Right.
Celebrity commercials, celebrity endorsements. I mean, that's part of the culture.
Right.
To go right to the
issues with the crime in the cities. Whenever you see someone interviewed and they're like of a differing opinion of the protesters, are like, oh, we definitely need the police back here. Please, please don't defund the police. Please refund the police. Please bring them back where it's like a war zone. But why isn't that being heard? And why are those people with those opinions being, you know, ostracized and being called sellouts to a lot of point? And they're not getting the point when this could very well be the honest to God truth. Of what's been going on in some of these.
There is a feeling, a theory going that people are swallowing this avalanche of progressive, you know, correctness and what's going on, this anarchy, but they resent it. And they're just lying low for fear of intimidation. And then come the election, they're going to go to the polls and kick progressive butt. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but that is, you know, something of a thought.
I was
thinking the other day, and this is how, in a sense, prejudice. I don't mean this in the current political sense, but how our minds work. They were talking about changing the name of schools in New Jersey, and they've been done some, but they're going to change the name of, and I can't think of a specific example. Perhaps you can, a name that is unpopular again with the offend community, and they're going to replace it with a hero. I think we already had the Malcolm X High School. That was changed, but that was years ago. And I think quite appropriately so. And so I was thinking, okay, we're going to change all of these names. And I was thinking of, God, they're going to have an Al Sharpton High School. I was going down that negative path. Suddenly occurred to me, hey, if they want to do a Flip Wilson High School, I'm on that.
Yeah.
So if they want to do a Miles Davis High, yes. So I had to change my thinking on that.
So we're going to have to wrap up here. But before we go, I wanted to ask you, are you going to be going to a, I know you're not a fast food guy, but considering that Burger King is going to be using a newfound beef for their Whoppers over the next year, lemongrass, which apparently will cut down some of the noxious emissions from the cattle. So it's going to be more flatulence-free beef for Whoppers at Burger King. I don't know if you heard that. They're going to be using
I've not had a junk food thing for about 30 years.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, my flatulence obviously is from some other source. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
hey, I want to do something real quick here. Yeah. We have two things in New Jersey of kids left in a car to great harm to the child. One was in Jackson, I think, and the other, I believe it was Scotch Plains, if I'm not mistaken. You've seen those stories.
Yeah.
On a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. I don't see. This gets back to, you ask why people put up with this, why we have no feet or what pushback on the rioting going on in the streets and the destruction. We are a dumb people.
Yes,
we are a stupid damn nation of people who don't think for themselves anymore. I mean, have you, leaving a child, anybody nowadays who would go off and these two people did it purposely. And this woman who actually went to jail, the one in Jackson, I'm glad they took her. And she said, well, I was only going to be in their store for a little while. The other one, I think the one up in North Jersey, the kid was in there for a long, long time on one of these hot days. I mean, that's a killer. That's a death sentence right there. Cut it the hell out. Yeah. I mean, use your head for something other than, as my father used to tell me, boy, use your head for something other than a spacer to keep your ears apart.
Right. I've heard that one, too. Yeah.
And my father's famous one is, when he has this, my boy. And I'd be doing something physical. He says, this boy is strong as an ox and almost as smart. So so that's my heritage along with Gerhard Manner. So many other things to talk about. Oh, I want to do one thing. We'll do it next week. All this talk about defunding police, which you brought up. Back when I was a kid, the population of the town I grew up in was 3,610. We had one policeman. It was a 60-year-old man. Of course, he was the chief. One. I looked up in New Jersey. The identical population is Bordentown in Burlington County. Bordentown has the same population, 3,600. They have 30 policemen. Times have changed. We'll talk about that next week, Bob.
All right, Jim. Hey, thanks. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back here next Thursday. You can check this on demand anytime you want at NJ1015.com and right here on Facebook. Have a great week.
And God take abundantly good care of you, as he's done with me, so I'll share it with you.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.